All the way from Hemet, California.
Who knows where Hemet, California is? Oh, boy. This is an especial, a real blessing to be able to come up after this time of prayer. We teach all over the country, and it's usually right after worship that we come up, and rarely after this much prayer. It's just awesome. We're going to turn to quite a few scriptures tonight, and since I'm going to kind of turn this around, let's turn to Matthew 5:45 for a minute. The Lord's put this on my heart. It has to do with sharing your faith, and I'll show you how in just a moment. I usually share this scripture about halfway through, but I feel it's appropriate now since we've had such a great time of prayer and praise reports. The Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells us in 5:45 that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. The just and the unjust is the saved and the unsaved. Jesus tells us that as Christians, we're going to deal with the same things as non-believers do. If a plane was to crash into this building right now, God don't let it. If it did, and if there's an unsaved person standing next to me, I'm going to feel the same pain this unsaved person does. Now, we just spent a half an hour discussing prayer and praise reports and lifting up petitions to God about prayer. Everyone in this room has unsaved family member and friends. There's nobody in this room can convince me they don't know somebody that's not saved. They need to experience the same grace that we get from God daily. See, Christians have to deal with the same ugly stuff. We live in a sinful, decadent world, correct? It's an ugly place to live. But by the grace of God, we have Him to get us through it. Write this scripture reference down for later study. Hebrews 4:16. It talks about being able to come confidently to the throne of grace for mercy in time of need. And I pray that as you study later, and you reread Matthew 5:45, and then you read as the Apostle Paul writes to Hebrew Christians in Hebrews 4:16 about, man, come confidently to the throne of grace for mercy in time of need, you will be fired up and understand that your friends and family members need God's grace also. So with that, I'm going to be kind of backtracking here a little bit. I want to tell you a couple of things that, first of all, I'm very blessed to be here. Thank you for having us. It's a true honor. We left Hemet last week. We went to Calvary Chapel, Belen. It took me a week to learn how to say that properly. We taught there Sunday morning on personal evangelism, and then we were blessed to do a three-hour workshop Sunday night, which actually is a four-hour workshop. It's out of a book that we wrote some years ago called Post Training. Post is an acronym for Prayer, Obedience, Submission, and Testimony. Those are the areas that God has shown me over the years of witnessing in Skid Row in Los Angeles, witnessing in Beacon Street in San Pedro, witnessing the bikers in Ventura on the beach in Oceanside, wherever God has led us to go street evangelizing. He has shown us that we need to be girded up with His Word. We need to be prayerful. We need to be obedient. We need to be submissive to Him. And we need to share our testimony. We're going to go over a lot of those areas tonight. I'll give you a couple things don't expect from me tonight. Don't expect me to give you a lesson in Hebrew or Greek, because I'm not going to do that. I may share one Greek word. And I'm not going to woo and wow you with my biblical brilliance, because I don't have much of that. There's an acronym that I live by, and it's KISS, K-I-S-S. Who's heard that before? Well, I'm going to change it just a bit. God spoke to me years ago and said, keep it simple, son. And you know why? Because God's word is simple and pure. We simply need to fall in love with it. Amen? With that in mind, let's ask God one more time to come in. Father God, as our hearts are bowed, I just ask Holy Spirit to use this time tonight, God, to exhort and encourage the brethren, the saints that are here tonight, God, that the importance, the mandate that you've given us to share our faith. Father God, we pray for this church, we pray for this valley, and God, we pray for the work that you're about to do here, that these saints would be girded up for battle, God, and they'd be realized that you give us all the tools to share our faith. We come to you now in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen. if you would, turn to Acts 1:8. That's going to be a launching pad for us. And I know Pastor Joseph's been teaching evangelism. It was really neat to hear that because as Christians, we find out through the Scripture that that's really what our mandate is to be evangelists. I'm not going to spend much time telling you about Acts Ministries, but I will briefly. God put on our hearts some years ago, after being involved in street witnessing, to write, produce, and distribute free of charge gospel material. To date, actually, you know, I had the ministry up, and I don't know all the figures, but I believe it was last April we surpassed the 15 million mark in gospel tracts and materials we supplied free of charge worldwide. That's an awesome task, considering that none of us had any background in any of that. But God gave us a vision. We dumbheaded, and I'll tell you, we could spend a week here going through all the do's and don'ts. I'm sure Joseph can share some, too, of ministry, how you kind of you dumbhead your way through things. But praise God, we have God to get it through us. We're going to do a couple of church calisthenics tonight. Is that okay? We're going to raise our hands a couple times here. I got a question for you. Can I see the hands of everyone here that considers himself a born-again Christian? Praise God. Now, can I see the hands of you that feel God has called you to be an evangelist? You have a calling to be an evangelist. Okay. Now I'd like to define what an evangelist is. Please listen carefully, because we're going to do this again in a moment. An evangelist is anybody that is born again. Because if you're born again, that means you have a testimony. If you're willing to share that testimony, that makes you an evangelist. One more time. If you're born again, you have a testimony. If you're willing to share that testimony, that makes you an evangelist. With that in mind, can we see the hands of those of you that are called to be evangelists? Amen. I pray that after tonight, we're going to have a little clearer understanding of how to share our faith. I had a brother walk up to me about 15 minutes ago and say that he's been waiting for something like this just to break that ice on how to share your faith. And I'm going to tell you something. There's no crystal ball. There's no magic wand. And there's no magic formula. There's no theorem like in business, like a business plan. You know what it is? It's applying God's word to your life, allowing the Holy Spirit to come in, and praying in Jesus' name to go out before you. That's what it's all about. I'd like to cover three basic concepts of evangelism. The first is the mandate from Jesus to be an evangelist. I'm going to use the word mandate and instruction and option quite a few times. The first is the mandate from Jesus to be an evangelist. The second is the Christian's role in evangelism. The third is the do's and don'ts of evangelism. And trust me, there are many do's and many don'ts. I have done all the don'ts. That's the only thing that qualifies me to be up here to share with you, because I've made all the mistakes, but by the grace of God and His mercy, I've learned from them. Dr. McGee, whom I truly love, is I consider one of my mentors. Dr. McGee said that evangelism is the act of calling of people to respond to the message of grace and commit oneself to God and Jesus Christ. In other words, the act of calling of people to respond to the message. If people are going to respond to a message, there has to be a messenger, correct? We're going to see tonight through Scripture that every single one of us are called to be messengers. Not all of us have heeded to that call. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church early on that some are called to be teachers, some are called to be evangelists, some are called to be pastors. Those are the gifts, okay? Guys like Greg Laurie and Billy Graham and Raul Reese and Rosales, when they fill a stadium up, that's the individual that have the gift of evangelism. You guys, your pastor has the gift to be a pastor teacher. That doesn't mean he can't evangelize. Every single one of us are called to evangelize, and we're going to see that in a minute. But before we go to Acts 1:8, I want to give you a couple of illustrations and definitions of what to preach is, evangelize, and what to teach is. To preach is to preach the gospel, to declare in public, to give moral or religious advice in a tiresome manner. Run the race, said Paul to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9:24. He said, run the race. To preach is also to urge strongly or persistently. In other words, to snag them. We preach to snag them, as in Titus 2:15. To teach somebody is to show or help a person to learn how to do something, to give lessons to someone, to help someone develop a skill or trait. In other words, to nurture them. You see, we preach, evangelize to get them into church, to snag them, as in Titus 2:15, right? And then we get them into church and we teach them the Word of God. And I'll give you a subtle difference of preaching and teaching. Let's say Pastor Joseph and I and a couple guys go out tonight to a park, and we're going to start. Man, we're going to go out and witness tonight, right? I'm going to give you a scripture that you don't want to use when you're witnessing. It's a great scripture. It's awesome. In the book of Leviticus. But picture us out in the middle of a park or on a street corner. Man, we're going to go out witnessing, and we're going to save souls tonight in Jesus' name, right? And we get out there, and we just, right now we go, people. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Whew. Well, we're going to snag them, aren't we? They're going to flee, aren't they? But let's say perhaps we stand out there and we put our hallelujah smiles on. We're happy. The love of Jesus is shining through us. We start passing out tracts and say, brother, sister, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for your sins. Come just as you are. You don't need to go get cleaned up first. Come just as you are. God loves you. He has enough grace and mercy for all of you. You know what? Everybody that hear that is not going to get saved. Some probably will. But I can guarantee you that seeds are going to be planted, going to be watered or rewatered, and in God's timing, life eternal will bloom. There's a big difference between preaching and teaching. Leviticus is an awesome book. Please don't, you know, I don't want any letters about, man, this brother said, you know, this pastor said Leviticus. Leviticus has messianic prophecy. Every word in the Bible is Holy Spirit inspired and has its place. Billy Graham and Greg Laurie, I spoke about a minute ago. Who here has been to a Billy Graham crusade or a Greg Laurie Harvest Crusade or a Somebody Loves You? You've seen stadiums filled up with 40, 45,000 people, right? Greg or Billy or Raul, they don't start off by reading the Ten Commandments, do they? Nor do they give the genealogy of the prophets. He begat him, he begat who. You know why? Because it'd all be asleep. Instead, they take an action verse and they expound upon it. They compare God's grace to grace the world. And you know what? If you put the fat kid and the skinny kid on a teeter-totter, there's no contest. You compare God's grace to the grace we get from the world, there's no contest. It's a win-win situation. So that's what they do, and that's why thousands of people come forward. Because they see firsthand, man, God's love and God's grace. The differences are important to understand. In James 2:26, our brother writes, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. We need to go out and we need to share our faith with others. The works are serving in the church, working in the nursery, maybe cutting the lawn on Saturdays out here, maybe ushering. But you know what? It's always about sharing your faith. Let's turn to Acts 1:8. And we're going to see just an awesome scripture. We're going to see the book of Acts as written by Dr. Luke. I'm sure as your pastor and through your personal studies, you've seen that the book of Acts is about the church. It connects Jesus Christ to the early church, and it gives us instruction and wisdom. It's an awesome book. And Dr. Luke writes from a different perspective. I love the way that he writes. I love the way that he puts it together. We see in Acts 1:8 that Christians are commanded to evangelize the world. And remember the context as this is written. This is during the 40 days after the resurrection that Jesus is sharing with the disciples. Can you imagine what the disciples felt like back then? They saw Jesus cleanse a leper. They saw him spit in the mud and rubbing the blind man's eye and make him see. They saw God incarnate walking the earth, didn't they? Then they see him chased out of town. They see him spat at. They see him beaten. They see him crucified. Man, is that odd? I mean, these guys had to be blown away. Then they see him resurrected. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells them, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's giving them instruction, clear instruction. He doesn't say, if you want to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, he says, you will be or shall be. It's not an instruction. It is an instruction. It's a mandate. It's not an option. Not to sound too humorous here, but options are when you buy a car and you get a sunroof or a CD player put in. Jesus here says, you will be. That's an instruction. So, the early Christians were disciples, We're born again Christians, correct? Amen? We're happy for that? We too are disciples. So was Jesus just writing to the early disciples, or is he writing to us? He's writing to us. So, he's telling us to be witnesses to him in Jerusalem. And that was a big order to tell a handful of guide disciples, evangelize the world. It was much different back then. And as we get into Scripture in a moment, that shows us that we have the tools to evangelize, to be the witnesses. Put yourself in the place of the early Christians for a moment, the disciples, the Peters, the Pauls, the James, the Phillips. Pastor Joseph and I were talking about Philip outside a few minutes ago, about how he was walking down a dirt road and an Ethiopian wagon train pulls up and he gets a chance to lead an Ethiopian eunuch leader to the Lord. What an awesome thing that is. But you know what? When these disciples went on missionary journeys, they often traveled for months on end across deserts and sandstorms. They wore crude sandals. I'm wearing a pair of, and I repent for this if I've offended anybody. I'm preaching in sandals today because I've got an infected toe that got messed up. These guys didn't wear the Nike sandals or Birkenstocks. They wore crude sandals. They were very crude. They didn't have good clothing. They had bad food, and the water wasn't that great. But you know what? They set out to be witnesses to him in all the land. Today, all of us have different tools. Today, we have a lot of things they didn't have. We have cars. We have laptops. We can turn on the radio and hear Pastor Chuck teach 2-3 times a day. We can hear Pastor Raul teach. You know, we've got so many luxuries today these brothers didn't have. Many young believers, actually a lot of mature believers as well, have said to me, Pastor Lane, you know what? It was easy for the early Christians to give up everything and follow Jesus. They sold everything they had and gave to the church and followed Jesus. Jesus said, pick up your cross, follow me, let the dead bury the dead. Many did that. And many Christians today say, man, it was easier for them to do it because they saw him cleanse the unclean, cure the sick. You know what, people? God parts the Red Sea right in front of us every day. He cures cancer in front of us every day. It's amazing what God does in front of us. I guarantee he's part of the Red Sea in front of somebody right here today. It's not a prophecy or word of knowledge. I know how God works. He's performed a miracle someplace in front of somebody today. But I can tell you that most of us, even us so-called godly warriors, are so wrapped up with technology today, we don't see them. You see, God's miracles come with a small, still voice. If you want to be the disciple God wants you to be, if you want to be the evangelist that God's called you to be, you need to be able to hear that small, still voice. See, God's miracles come with a small, still voice. You remember Jonah? The prophet Jonah? He gets a bad rap because he did one real stupid thing. He disobeyed God. But he had to be a good man or he wouldn't have been a prophet, correct? The prophet Jonah. Remember what happened to him? God told him to go to Nineveh and he went to Tarshish. But you know what? God didn't scream it at him. He didn't say, Jonah! Go to Nineveh! Now! Doesn't work that way. Small, still voice. God said, Jonah, you. Go to Nineveh. And I want you to walk down the middle of the road and tell them to repent, to put on sackcloth and ashes and repent. If they do that, I'll spare them. That's the way God speaks to all of us. Now, Jonah wasn't, he didn't have a big screen TV to distract him from God's still voice. He didn't have a 400 megahertz laptop to distract him from God's small still voice, but he still disobeyed him. And we all know what happened to him, right? Got swallowed up and barfed onto a beach. I can guarantee you that God has prepared the big fish a couple times for me, and I didn't quite get down the gullet. I got out in time. I saw it happening. But all of us have been disobedient to God's calling. But what I want to share with you is that Jonah wasn't being disobedient because he didn't want to hear God. He didn't like the people. And that's a message in this little illustration that I want to give you. Jonah didn't like the people. The Assyrians were wicked, wicked, wicked people. They were so wicked that when they would go out to conquer a village, the other village would oftentimes put up a white flag and surrender before they even got there. The Assyrians did awful, awful things. They made, you know what they lined their, you know what their pews were made of? Well, they didn't have pews, but their couches were lined with human skin. That's what the Assyrians did. Outside their city walls, their markers were pyramids of human skulls. Jonah hated the Assyrians. He didn't want to witness to them. I'm praying right now, and I'm just asking the Holy Spirit as I'm talking to you just to soften your hearts. And if there's a people out there that you don't want to witness to, maybe they're black or Hispanic or Indian from East India, maybe they're Pakis, who knows what they may be. Maybe they're a next door neighbor that you don't like or somebody at work that you don't like, that you would take the lesson from Jonah and realize that we are to share our faith anytime, anywhere, and with anyone. We're not to be, it's not selective evangelism. I've tried that before. It doesn't work. Trust me. Acts 8:27, if you want to write that down for a later reference, that was where Philip led the Ethiopian eunuch to the Lord. Acts 8:27. It's an awesome scripture. We're going to turn for a moment to the Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. And to me, this is a pivotal scripture in serving God. Set of scriptures. Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. In 2 Kings, we see that God gives Solomon the greatest gift known to man, gives him wisdom above all measure. Solomon, the smartest man in the world, writes to us. And he says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." Inclining our ears to wisdom is what? Listening to God. Right? That small, still voice. We need to search for God's wisdom in everything that we do. I'd like to make a friendly wager, and I know that I probably would have done this at one time. I don't think I would now. But on the way to church tonight, if somebody would have stopped us along, let's say we went to Wendy's for dinner tonight, Big Spender's. And let's say I lived in Tanner, and somebody came up to me and says, "Pastor Lane, I got this treasure map. It shows treasure hidden in your backyard." Pretty good chance I'd have made a U-turn and went home. And I'd have a shovel in my hand and not a Bible. You know why? Because that's human nature. The smartest man in the world says, "Search for God's wisdom as we would for hidden treasure." And you know what? In this world, treasures mean a lot. Gold, bank accounts, credit limits, they all mean a lot to us. We live in a society built on money. Solomon is saying, now this is a long time ago. They didn't have credit cards. They didn't have the stuff we have today. But Solomon had wisdom, right? And he wrote to us, said, "Seek God's wisdom as you would for hidden treasures." Very important scripture. And we're leading up into more about sharing our faith. And now we're going to talk about some tools. We've learned to seek God's wisdom. As I shared with this brother before the service, there's no magic formula for sharing God's word. It's applying his word to our life. Let's turn to John 14:26, please. John 14:26. And we see in the Gospel of John that Jesus promises us that as we boldly go and share our faith with others, that we're not alone. And this is really the basis for Christians today. When Jesus was ministering to the disciples after his resurrection, he's telling them, "Guys, don't worry." Remember, they had a reason to be scared. They had a reason to be afraid. They saw the miracles. They saw Jesus crucified. They saw him resurrected. And Jesus is telling them, "The man, you're going to have a helper." And he says, "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you." From the Journal of George Fox, this is written over 300 years ago, he says, "It be a certain truth that none can understand the writings of the prophets and apostles without the same Spirit by which they were written." The same Holy Spirit that gave the prophets, the authors of the Bible, all the apostles, to write this word, the Holy Bible, is the same Holy Spirit we need to minister through us. And brother that came up to me before, I'm going to tell you something right now, that every Bible study that you've ever heard, every Bible study that you've ever read, every scripture you've ever read, every worship song you've ever heard that would glorify God, The Holy Spirit will, it's all logged in here. This is the big computer God gave us in there, the biggest computer known to man. And you know what? Everything you've ever learned about God is logged in here. Jesus is saying that that Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all things that He taught us. If we're studying God's Word, we're praying it up, and we step out into the gap for Jesus like He did it for us over 2,000 years ago, we're going to have the words to say. Sure, we got to study it up. We got to prepare. We've got to have tracts. Okay, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to have a sinner's prayer ready. I'm going to have my testimony. But you know what? You know who does the work? The Holy Spirit does the work. We're mere vessels. We are messengers. You know something? My message is not going to save anybody. Lane Livingston's message will stumble somebody and probably send them to hell, because I will stumble them. But if I use God's Word coupled with my testimony, led by the Holy Spirit, praying in Jesus' name, you know what? That's going to work. And I'll tell you why. You can write this scripture down for later reference. Isaiah 55:11. Our mighty and awesome God tells us His Word always hits a mark. It never returns void. If it will glorify God in Jesus' name, prayed up by the Holy Spirit, you are going to plant seeds or you're going to water them. In God's timing, life eternal will bloom. I promise you that. You know why? Because Jesus said so. Lane Livingston didn't say so. I'm just being a messenger right now. Jesus Christ, the one that gave us salvation, the one that all of the hope that Christians are in, I mean, all the hope that Christians have is in Jesus Christ. He tells us He's given us a helper. So, brother, I'm going to tell you right now, man, you pray it up first and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you out there. I guarantee you, man, He's going to work. I promise you that. Let's go back just a couple of verses in John 14, to 13 and 14. John 14, 13 and 14. And Jesus says that whatever you ask in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in My name, I will do it. Now we need to take that scripture in context. Husbands, if you've been trying to talk your wife into buying that new year 2000 Dodge T-Rex truck, don't ask her to pray with you about that. Don't waste my time to pray with you about it either. That's not going to glorify God necessarily. I know brothers that have prayed, God, give me that brand new Suburban in Jesus' name. I will pick up the saints every Sunday morning and get them to church. You think God's going to give you that Suburban? Uh-uh. I don't think so. But if you're praying in Jesus' name, anything that would glorify the Father, it's going to happen in His timing. And remember something, saints. God always answers prayers. Always. Remember the two doves that Noah sent out? Sent one out and came back with an olive leaf in its mouth. Sent another one out and never came back. Does that mean that it was fruitless sending that dove out? Not at all. That was an answer of prayer. That dove didn't come back because it was out nesting someplace. It found land. Our prayers are the same way. God's ears hear our prayers. And they're always answered, but unfortunately not in our timing. Actually, fortunately, they're not in our timing, because I would really be messed up if everything was in my timing. Let's turn to Acts 26:18. And I want to give you an illustration. We're going to talk about some hands-on ways to share your faith in a few minutes, but I want to give you another illustration of a bold way of sharing your faith. That's Acts 26:18. Remember, the book of Acts connects Jesus Christ to the early church, and it gives us instruction all the way through. Every pastor, it's his rule book. I mean, the book of Acts is what the church is all about. And I want to just spend a light moment, and I say light for a good reason. I want you to remember something when you pray about going out and sharing your faith. God always, most of the time, uses the foolish to confound the wise and uses the weak to conquer the strong. I am a balding, fat, old guy. I admit that. Last summer, God used us to share with over 100,000 youth across the country. 3,000 youth leaders I had in my grasp to share with, to encourage. If he will use me to encourage young people, he will use anybody, trust me. We're going to see the Apostle Paul here for a moment. And I want to take a light look at the Apostle Paul. In the writings of Josephus and historical writings, we read that the Apostle Paul was a funny-looking guy, an extremely godly man. As a matter of fact, I think most Christian men, through their Christian walk, look at the different apostles and, I want to be like Peter, man. I did. I mean, forever I wanted to be like Peter, the guy that would pull out the sword and cut the ear off the guy. You're not going to take my Jesus. But then when I discovered down the road that he denied Jesus three times, I want to be like Paul. Well, the Apostle Paul is an awesome brother. He didn't get to meet Jesus like the other disciples did. And I want you to picture the Apostle Paul for a minute. The reason I made fun of myself being a balding old fat guy, which I am, but I love Jesus with all my heart. Paul was a very slight man, small and skinny. The Scripture tells us he had an extremely prominent proboscis. We know that he had bad eyesight, don't we? Got smitten on the road to Damascus. That's why we believe that God put Dr. Luke alongside with him for a while to make, probably made some ointment for his eyes to make him feel better. But picture the Apostle Paul standing in front of King Agrippa. Picture that name, King Agrippa. The Apostle Paul is a little skinny guy, and he's standing up in front of, not intimidated, but he's standing up in front of King Agrippa, and he's squinting like this. And he goes on to give testimony about Jesus, and he says, I do this to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And he goes on to tell King Agrippa that he's being obedient to the heavenly vision. And I want to ask you, saying something right now. Do you believe that we have the mandate to be obedient to the same heavenly vision that the Apostle Paul did? Remember, he was standing in the court of law in front of King Agrippa defending his life. But he wasn't worried about his life, was he? Joseph, a minute ago, read to us about the Apostle Paul writing many letters from prison. He wasn't worried about being in prison. He stood before King Agrippa sharing his faith. Don't you think that maybe you can share your faith while holding the hand of some little old lady in a convalescent home? Or maybe visiting a youth camp for incorrigible youth, encouraging some young girl or young man? Or perhaps when you're in the supermarket line and you see somebody weeping, just stopping and sharing your faith with them? You don't have to recite 50 scriptures. Actually, you don't want to recite any scriptures to them. You want to share your testimony with them. You want to tell them what God's done in your life, coupled with prayer, coupled with God's Word. That's what's going to plant seeds. But the Apostle Paul did it for his life. I think we can do that in a supermarket line, maybe at a convalescent home. And we're going to talk about some of those places to share our faith now. Remember that when we go to share our faith, we only have sometimes 2-3 seconds to pray. Who here, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, so nod or something, so nobody has to see you. But who here has shared their faith before openly? Praise God. You know what? We always want to pray before we share our faith, but it doesn't have to be a long prayer. We don't have to get into 15-minute... You know what? I'm telling you, there's going to be times you're going to be in that supermarket line. You may be at the Grease Monkey getting your oil changed. That's really the name. I'm not making fun of oil. That's the name of a place out in California. I repent if I've offended anybody. Let's say you're waiting to get your oil change at Grease Monkey. And you're talking. Sometimes you only have about 2-3 seconds to pray. Father God, Holy Spirit, speak through me now in Jesus' name. That's all you got to do. And when you start talking, you're going to be in God's will to glorify Him. The words are going to come out. Of course, you need to pray. You need to study a little bit the Word. You need to know what you're going to share. And we have a form out there to help you develop your testimony if you haven't already done that. But I'm telling you, sometimes you only have a couple seconds to share. One great way to share your faith, and you know what? Sharing your faith is not always with a witnessing tract. We have developed, written, and produced over 15 million. So we think tracts are a good way to do it. But tracts are a great way to do it. And you know what? Pastor Joseph is going to pick out some of the tracts he likes that we have. We're going to print your church name and address on the back. And we're going to encourage you guys to share your faith around town with him. You know why? Because we feel confident that in Calvary Chapel, when newcomers come in, they're going to be fed the Word verse by verse, precept by precept, the whole counsel of God's Word, not just what a pastor wants to share on a certain day. They're going to be shown the whole Word of God. So we encourage you, when you get these tracts, and leave them laying in the barbershop. And I asked somebody earlier today, I'm sure that you've got a barbershop in town that's got Field and Stream magazines from 1988 still on their counter. You know what? Shove a track in there. Somebody's going to pick it up for the 300th time, and this time they're going to find God's Word. Oh, what's this? They're going to see God's Word. And prayerfully, maybe they're a backslidden Christian, or maybe somebody else has watered the seed in them or planted it before. Maybe this is going to be enough to get them to say, you know what, I think I'm going to check out this Calvary Chapel. Anybody willing enough to leave God's Word laying around, maybe I need to check them out. And we encourage you that you do that, and we're going to supply you a lot of those materials. That's one way to share your faith. We're also going to give you a list of ways to use witnessing tracts. Let's get back to church calisthenics for a minute. Who here rents videos? Okay. Prayerfully, they're PG-13 or below. When you return them to the video store, you know that little plastic cover that the videos go in? Slip a track inside of it. Today, somebody still has to open it up, right? And pull that video out. Yes, sir. No, sir, it's not. You're not tampering. No, it's not inside the video itself, but just in the cover. It's a good thing to do. And I'm going to give you a quick testimony, and I'll tell you how good that is in a moment. I'll tell you another good way. Who here pays electric bills and water bills and phone bills? You know what? Today, in today's technology, yes, people, we can send men to the moon. We can microwave and heat coffee in 1 minute. But somebody at the electric company still has to open up that envelope, pull out the check and statement. Oh, what's this? A witnessing track. Pretty cool, huh? It's another way to do it. Remember, Isaiah 55:11, God's word does not return void. Don't be afraid of them throwing it in the trash can. You know why? Because if it's God's will, a trash digger will find it. If it's God's will, somebody rummaging through the dump will find it. Trust in God, the power of God, to get the message across. Printed media today is still the most powerful form of advertising. Coming into town, we saw a billboard that said, Jesus is Lord. Coming across America, we see a lot of billboards. In California, we have near naked women on billboards right on the freeway. Coming here, we see all these gaming casino billboards. We came into your little town today and we saw that Jesus is Lord and we're praising God for it. You know what? That's sharing your faith. You know why? God's word didn't return void. Amen? It's a great way to share your faith. Let me give you another way to share your faith. Who here has had a neighbor that really bugged them? I shared this in Las Cruces last night, and somebody was going. We had a neighbor at one time that used to scoop dog poop and throw it over our fence. I was an elder at the time, and I really tried to think of different ways that I could take that dog poop and have it deposit on his in parts of that person's body. In the head portion. A young man that I was discipling at the time said, hey, maybe we should pray for him. Ouch, that hurt. Hey, you got a neighbor that bugs you? Pray for him. You got a neighbor and you say, hey, Bart, how you doing? And he comes back and says, man, I'm having a lousy day. You respond back, you know what, I'm having a great day because I serve an awesome God. And watch them go, huh? That's sharing your faith. Even if you don't get to take it any further than that, that's sharing your faith. This person that lives next to you, whether it's a good neighbor or bad neighbor, whether it's a family member that lives down the road or into the next state, they know the problems you have in your life. They know you have storms in your life. They know you have storms of bereavement, storms of death, storms of finances, storms of tornadoes, different storms in our life. But they see that you handle it differently, don't they? I hope they do. If they do, then one day they're going to want what you have. That's another way of sharing your faith. There's another kind of corny example that I'm going to use here, and I should put my wife on the spot again. She's bowing her head. We do a series of skits, and I pray that one day we can come back and do the full four-hour workshop post-training, because I'll tell you, it's a blast. It's a lot of fun for us to do it, and I can guarantee you that it's bore fruit all over the country. We showed little simple illustrations of ways to share your faith, but we also show all the opportunities each one of us have daily to share our faith and often don't take them. And there are many. How many married men do we have in this room? Can you raise your hand? Okay. This is for you men. Women, you're in your glory for about 1 minute. I'm going to do a little 1 minute skit. I'm going to make a fool of myself up here, but it's a simple illustration that all of us have been in or we're going to be in at one time. Men, picture yourself at work. The phone rings. It's your wife. And you pick up the phone and say, "Hi, honey, how you doing?" And she's not saying anything intelligible at all. All she's doing is crying hysterically, saying, "I'm sorry, I forgive you, I'm sorry." You know what, men? Myself included. Most men at that point would be thinking, "Oh, man, she totaled the car. Oh, she was backing out of the garage and ran over the lawnmower. Maybe she invited her mother to move into the spare bedroom. Oh, no. God forgive us." You know what? That's our guttural instinct, man, to think something like that. Instead, share your faith with her. And listen, you know what? I'm not just talking about sharing your faith with a non-believer. I'm talking about with a Christian wife, with your kid when he brings home bad grades. But you know what? When your wife's crying like that, I promise you, because Jesus tells us this, if you do this, it'll work. Say, "Father God in heaven, I just ask right now in Jesus' name that you gentler spirits, Lord. Father God, let her know that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen." You know what? By the time you get done praying, she's going to calm down because she's going to know that you're going to forgive her. That's a great way to share your faith. When that's all over, ask her for lawnmowers, okay? Praying with somebody is a great way to share your faith. You know what? Oftentimes we have people come into church. Just because they're Christians, we don't think we need to share our faith with them. There's a young brother right here, man, that we got a chance to share with earlier. A young brother in Christ. Just because you think somebody's saved doesn't mean you can't share your faith. Maybe you're at a different place of your walk with them. So sharing your faith is with the believer as well as a non-believer. Please don't forget that. It's a great thing to see for a pastor to see, man, people stopping each other and praying for each other in the hallway. That's an awesome thing to do. Another great way to share your faith is by doing outreaches. And I know that you guys are talking about doing some outreaches. And we have helped many, many churches across the country develop outreaches. And if we can help you guys any way, we're going to do it. But you know what? You need to be doing outreaches to convalescent homes. And I know I'm running short on time, but I got to give you, I'd be remiss if I didn't give you this testimony. A young brother that we sent out to pastor a church about 5 years ago in Greenville, Tennessee, Gary Hall, I'll be teaching at his church body this summer. Before he left Hemet, he had a convalescent ministry that he started. He met a woman named Ruby. She was married to a rabbi for 45 years. She was all alone now. She had all of her mental faculties, but her body was failing her. She wasn't doing well, but she could think real well. She was very witty. Tell all the Jewish jokes, you know. "Oy vey, how's your mother?" Just really witty and neat woman. Gary held her hand, prayed with her, washed her feet. When the food came, he'd feed her. He'd read to her out of the Reader's Digest that she got every month. He loved her the same way Jesus would do. Gary moved to Tennessee to start the church, which is doing real well now. About a year later, one of the saints came running into our office and said, "Pastor Lane, you're not going to believe it. Ruby accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior." Is that an amen? You know what? Gary Hall, for over a year, held her hand, prayed with her, planted seeds and watered seeds. Somebody else got to bring her to the Lord. But it's not about us, is it? It's about being willing to share our faith. I couldn't wait to tell Gary about that. We both cried and wept on the phone for 10 minutes in joy. What an awesome thing that was. You know something? Convalescent homes. Don't forget about the aged in this town. Jesus gave us a parable of the workers. Remember that? Some worked all day and got a full wage. Some only worked a little bit of time and got a full wage. That was a parallel to salvation. Somebody can accept Jesus from their heart on their deathbed and enter the kingdom. Don't we want that? John Corson, many years ago, I had lunch with him. He said, I'd rather be a pod banger in heaven than a prince in hell. He stole that from Vernon McGee. But it's an illustration that if you accept Jesus on your deathbed, you're going to go to heaven. You may not have all the riches and glory in heaven, but you're going to go to heaven. I'd rather be a pod banger in heaven than a prince in hell, amen? Wouldn't you rather have your friends, your lost friends and relatives, be a pod banger in heaven than a prince in hell? Go to the convalescent homes. Reach out in the parks with music and hot dogs and give out hot dogs and just do worship music out there and see who comes up. Go to the youth camps in town. Go to the prisons. Go to the VA hospital. Great outreaches. Those are just another ways to show your faith. Before we get into a couple of practical ways to do that with some of the scripture helps that we have, I want to tell you something. Don't think you need to be a biblical scholar to share your faith. I am not a biblical scholar. I know God's Word simply and pure. I teach a pastoral internship class. I lecture at the Calvary Chapel Bible Colleges. I teach at many churches. I am not a biblical scholar. I know God's Word simply and pure the way He has shown me. Everybody in this room has the same ability to share the faith as I do, or Pastor Joseph, or any of the elders here. You simply need to fall in love with God's Word. You need to have a heart for the lost. And remember that Jesus didn't give you an option, did He? He said, you will be my witnesses. Do a word study on that. You'll see that this bald old fat guy appears telling you the truth. Jesus says, you will be my witnesses. Let's read Acts 1:8 one more time. And I think I forgot to tell you earlier to save your place. But let's go back there. Acts 1:8. And we're going to read it again. We're going to add a little something to it. And no, don't worry, I'm not going to get struck down by lightning. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Silver City and in all Hurley and Mexico and to the ends of the earth. Amen? Where's Jerusalem? Right here. God gave us a mandate to be witnesses in our Jerusalem. I know we have a brother here from Santa Fe, New Mexico. That's his Jerusalem. This is his Samaria. He could be going, driving through Burger King and get a chance to hand somebody a track. He can witness in his Samaria and his Judea, even though he's in your Jerusalem. I want to close by asking you three questions. And if I'm putting you on the spot, I apologize. But don't answer me, don't raise your hand, don't even nod. I'm going to ask you a few questions. Do your co-workers and classmates know that you're a Christian? Do your relatives know that you're a Christian? Do your friends know that you're a Christian? To know means, it's a synonym, and I've used it three times, it means to have a clear understanding of something, to know the facts about something. Do they know the facts about you being a Christian? Do they have an understanding that you are a Christian? Jesus tells in the Gospel of Matthew that we're to be a city on a hill, a light on a lampstand for all to see, that they'll know us, that they'll know your mind by your light. I encourage and implore this church body to get serious about sharing your faith. We're going to give you tools. I want to spend a few minutes on how to use them. And I truly encourage you to share your faith. Because you know what? It's not difficult. Let's go over just briefly a couple things that we learned tonight. That if we pray in Jesus' name, ask the Holy Spirit in, share God's Word coupled with our testimony, we can be planters and waters of the seed. Is that correct? That's all we need to do. It's simple. We are vessels. The Holy Spirit will take over. I can guarantee you I had a total different teaching planned for tonight. I haven't even used my notes. I've used a couple scripture references because I allowed the Holy Spirit, I just felt the Holy Spirit leading me to change this a little bit. I can guarantee the Pastor Joseph and any pastor that prays it up and studies does the same thing. Anybody that leads a home Bible study here does the same things. God ministers to us. And tonight he just had me share a couple different things with you guys. But I encourage you to allow God to work through your life. I want to tell you why I'm here today before we close in about 10 minutes after I show you a few things with our materials. I want to tell you why that I'm here today. Give you my brief testimony. Maybe it'll help you develop your own. In 1969, again, I kind of embarrassed my son last night a little bit. As most Christian men, I didn't want my kids to hear my testimony for a long time. But I wrote a book about 5 years ago, and they read it, so they knew it. In 1969, I sat under the Huntington Beach Pier at low tide, where we sat every day. Instead of going to school, I shaped surfboards at Dale Velsey's surfboard shop across the street. I played the blues harp in a blues band down in the basement of the Golden Cellar. I'm 15, 16 years old at the time. I was under the Huntington Beach Pier sitting on a 9-foot-8-inch Velsey longboard. We had just put a bunch of chains together and bought a gallon of Red Mountain wine for $1.49. I'm sitting on this surfboard under the pier, surrounded by a bunch of surfer dudettes and chickettes, little beach punks like myself, just getting ready to crack open that wine. Two men walked up to us, started talking about Jesus. Man, like cucarachas, like cockroaches when the lights turned down. Everybody fled out of there. They ran, man. These two men started talking about Jesus, and they ran. But I stayed. They told me a story about blood, about repentance, about a promise. 2 weeks later, I was baptized in the ocean by Pastor Chuck. I am here today because somebody shared their faith with me. You, everybody in this room, are here today because somebody shared their faith with you. Amen? You didn't just happen here. You didn't just happen to be a Christian. Somebody shared their faith with you. Through a radio broadcast, a TV broadcast, a personal testimony, a track, some way, somebody shared their faith with you. Don't you think we should follow that mandate and instruction from Jesus Christ himself to be a witness for him and share our faith with others? I do too. I'm going to share some of the scripture helps and tracks that we have briefly before we close. Just take a few minutes. And I can tell you that, again, I say this very humbly. I have a bone disease that is shortening my life greatly. And often I'm in bed for weeks at a time. I have a lousy memory. I have a good memory for the things that God wants me to remember, but I have a lousy memory for just recalling stuff when I want to come up. The Holy Spirit has to do it. So, remember, God uses the foolish to confound the wise? Amen for that. He had me write some scripture helps. These are all called scripture helps, these cards. These are all free to you. They're on a table. We have about 10,000 of them. Take one for your Bible. Take one for by the phone. Take one for a friend. The first one is a topical scripture help. Let's say you're sharing with somebody and they say, man, I'm angry. There's scripture on anger. They need comfort. There's scripture on comfort. Somebody died in their family. There's scripture on death. False prophets and teachers, forgiveness is topical all the way through. This is not the panacea of Christian faith, but it's a scripture help to help you find scripture when you need it. You still need to pray it up first. This one here is on the deity of Jesus Christ. The single common denominator, the single thread between all the cults is the denial of the deity of Jesus Christ. All of our hope is based on the deity of Jesus Christ, amen? This proves front and back, scripturally, that Jesus is God. This one here is called Jehovah Witness, JW at your door. It shows the doctrinal differences and basically how to witness to them. This one here is called Mormon at your door. Doctrinal differences shows you how to witness to them. This little piece of paper here we developed, it just says, you know, to put your name down, the date you were saved, how old you were when you were saved, how did it happen, how you were led to the Lord, and how it changed your life. If you fill in all the blanks, this is not for you to turn into anybody, this is for yourself. Fill in the blanks. Take some time and pray on it. With these facts down here, you're going to be able to develop a short and concise testimony of how to share your faith with somebody. Because you know what? When you share your faith with somebody, man, you don't want to start throwing tons of scriptures. You don't want to shove the Bible down their throat. You don't want to read Leviticus. You don't even want to read the Ten Commandments to start with. You want to tell them about promise and sacrifice and repentance of sin. But you want to share your testimony. What, you know, where you came from, what God delivered you from, what He's doing in your life now. That's what it's all about. So I encourage you to develop a short and concise testimony. These tools are here for a reason. God brought us here. They're free. There's no hidden strings. You're not going to be on a mailing list that you'll never be able to get off of. We're not going to send somebody to your door. You're not going to be obligated to us. God has led us here to share these things with you. Before I close, I want to just say a quick prayer for this church body. But I want to encourage you to come to our table. Use the resources that we're willing to give to you freely. No strings attached. If you have any questions, if you have something in your family that's a hard nut to crack, you don't know how to witness to them. Maybe you need some heads up on, you know, man, how do I share with this person? Allow us the time. We have a young fellow with us named Todd who heads up an evangelism team of about 100 people who go out every Friday night all over the place, the beaches, the piers, the streets. Man, we'll help you any way we can. We'll stay here until midnight. Outside, we'll probably get kicked out. We'll stay with you all night. If anybody has a burning desire to go street witnessing tonight, we're ready to go. Every city we've been in, we've done it. I'll tell you right now, I'll challenge you. I'm not going to back in the corner. Anybody who wants to go street witnessing tonight, let's go. We're ready to go. If this town is like ours, it locks up at 9 o'clock, so I don't know what you still have open, but if you want to go, we'll go. We want to practice what we preach. We want to show you that we're willing not just to tell you what you need to do biblically, we're willing to help you do it. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I pray for this church body right now.